Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible and we're on chapter 26 of the book of Genesis. Let's ask the Lord to bless chapter 26 and bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Lord God, open the windows of heaven and pour out your spirit upon the reading of this word, and open every heart, every spirit in the mind of the spirit to keep us strong for another day in you. Because we're only needing to keep one day at a time, to live one day at a time. And we thank and praise you for it. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Chapter 26, King James Version, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar.
Okay, now Abimelech means like, it's just many of the rulers back then in that country were called Abimelech, just like in Egypt, Pharaoh, there were many pharaohs, all right? So Abimelech doesn't mean it's the man's name, that's just the title, okay? All right, then what else?
Commentary. Isaac deceives Abimelech. Verse 1.
That'd be like saying Moses did something to Pharaoh. All right, then what?
Verse 1. Now a severe famine struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived.
Like Pharaoh, king of the Egyptians, lived. Okay.
King James Version, verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Commentary, verse 2. The Lord appeared to him there and said, quote, Do not go to Egypt. King James Version, verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Commentary, verse 3. Quote, Do as I say, and stay here in this land. If you do, I will be with you and bless you. I will give all this land to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham your father. King James Version, verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Commentary, verse 4. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars, and I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed. King James Version, verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Commentary, verse 5. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, regulations, and laws. King James Version.
That's the only reason he did it. Amen.
Amen.
That's the only reason God will bless anybody. You have to keep all the regulations. Okay? Statutes, precepts, laws. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Commentary, verse 6. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. King James Version, verse 7. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister, for he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Commentary, verse 7. And when the men there asked him about Rebekah, he said, quote, She is my sister. He was afraid to admit that she was his wife. He thought they would kill him to get her, because she was very beautiful. King James Version, verse 8. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Commentary, verse 8. But sometime later, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw Isaac fondling Rebekah. King James Version, verse 9. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, lest I die for her. Commentary, verse 9. Abimelech called for Isaac and exclaimed, quote, She is obviously your wife! Exclamation mark. Why did you say she was your sister? Quote, Because I was afraid someone would kill me to get her from me, Isaac replied. King James Version, verse 10. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lined with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. Commentary, verse 10. How could you treat us this way? Abimelech exclaimed. Quote, Someone might have taken your wife and slept with her, and you would have made us guilty of great sin. King James Version, verse 11. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Commentary, verse 11. Then Abimelech made a public proclamation, quote, Anyone who harms this man or his wife will die! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Commentary, Conflict over Water Rights. Verse 12. That year Isaac's crops were tremendous! Exclamation mark. He harvested 100 times more grain than he thought he would when he planted, for the Lord blessed him. King James Version, verse 13.
For each seed he planted, he got 100 seeds back. 100 times. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. Then what else? That's incredible.
King James Version, verse 13. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. Commentary, verse 13. He became a rich man, and his wealth only continued to grow. King James Version, verse 14. For he had possession of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him.
Yeah, they were jealous of him. Yeah, that's the story of anybody that's called, chosen to be great in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, all their life, people have been jealous of them. All their lives. It's just amazing. I can remember even that the shows, you know, on these different jackets that I designed, we were at the different shows to show them, make finances for, to support all the people in the church and to get the gospel out. And there were over 1,000 booths there, and everybody wanted us to leave because we were the only ones doing the business there. And at first they put us on the top floor, and we had bought several booths down below. And they even when we were upstairs, people started gravitating towards us upstairs, not on the main floor. And I really was... They totally lied to us and told us that we could have those booths, and we reserved them, and they just made us go upstairs. They said a bunch of, like, goons, really gangster-type people, and made us move. And then when our people were walking down through the show with the jackets on, they threatened to beat them up and everything else. It was just, no matter what I've ever done in my life, even when I had the 20 original hits, people threatened my life. And when I was doing things in the promotional field, in the health studio business, people were jealous. They don't want they get jealous because you're making money, and they want you to get out of there. They want you to leave the show. They said all those people with a thousand other booths were saying that they're never going to come back to the show if they don't get rid of us, because we were just thronged and they were not doing any business at all, because all the things that they were selling were mediocre and ours were like head and shoulders over everybody. They're very glamorous type, and the movie stars were all wearing them, and the kings and princesses and even queens were wearing the things. And it's just the story of, you know, no matter what we do, even the 20 original hits, all the different record companies were upset, and I got calls from Roulette Records threatening my life, and somebody came from over there and broke into, knocked on the door, and I had loaned the apartment to somebody else. This is when I was unsaved. But, you know, this stuff went on and on and on all the time. Then even before that, I was supposed to do a movie role with a big, there was a big star in there. I was to play his young brother, and he tried to run me over with a car, and the heads of the studio told me he absolutely refuses to let me be in the picture. And I could go on all night, but, you know, I want to get back to Genesis here. All right, praise the Lord. But this is, I understand what was going on here very well. I can relate to that very much. Very much. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 14. He acquired large flocks of sheep and goats.
Oh, yeah, and the government, you know, when we acquired, over the years, we worked and we built houses with our hands and even with scrap lumber and everything else. The government got real jealous. They said, you're getting too big and too powerful. I heard it from other people in government. That's why they did it. They took everything and sold it for pennies on the dollar. So over a hundred, you know, if you added it up, we weren't acquiring all these things, but for it to have people live in them. And they took everything that we had. They closed our store down, the Alamo of Nashville, and they marched in and took all of our properties, over $100 million worth of property, and sold it, just almost gave it away for pennies on the dollar. And then threw me in prison for something I didn't do, for the gospel. And we were distributing literature to the White House on down to everybody all over the world. And so, naturally, they just figure you're becoming such a big threat that they don't want you in the country. They want to send you to the moon. Okay, and there's so many other instances that I could, you know, I just let it, it doesn't really bother me that much, but I like to use it as a testimony. You know, it's like what happened to, in a way, what happened to Job, you know?
Yeah.
After all those years, 20-some years, they took everything that we had, except the property in Los Angeles. And of course, the Lord has restored us after I got out of prison and after all this happened. And they brought so many false charges on me. It's just, you know, I think the general public got wind of, you know, and just realized that nobody could be as bad. Not even Hitler was as bad as they said I was. And here all we were doing is getting the gospel out. And there's nothing this man was doing here. They'd fill his wells up with dirt, the water wells, so that they couldn't, he had all those sheep and goats and cattle, and they couldn't drink, so they had to go and dig other wells. Then other people would come in and say that the wells belonged to them, and so he'd go and dig another well someplace else. And then they'd come and say, no, that well's ours too. And then finally they built another well, and they left him alone. Well, they left us alone for a while. Just keep praying that they will. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go. Let's continue on here.
Commentary verse 14. He acquired large flocks of sheep and goats, great herds of cattle, and many servants. Soon the Philistines became jealous of him.
See, it's jealousy, right?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
King James Version verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Commentary verse 15.
See how jealousy does? Amen.
Amen.
And some people, you know, like young people, they just don't get the drift of this. Wait till they get something in there that is their own and it's taken away from them. Then you'll see them paying attention to what people are saying. They'll want people to... they'll think people will sympathize with them, but they don't. But the unsaved out there, after enough of it, they admire my tenacity, all right? Because they saw me raked over the coals and I just kept putting the gospel out. And so I had a couple of big, real tall guys came into a cell down in the jail over in Fayetteville. And they wanted to meet me, and I didn't know what for it, but they locked me up in the room with them. And I said, what do you want? And they said, we just wanted to meet you, man. We admire your tenacity. That means you'd never stop, no matter what they do to you. Okay, that's tenacity. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, and this man had tenacity, too. He kept it up. Yeah, I have to have tenacity because of the way that the Lord put his fear in me. I can't stop. I don't care what they do to me. I cannot stop. The only way that I would ever stop has to be that they would kill me. I'll never stop for any other reason. Okay? And unless you have that same kind of commitment, you're not going to heaven. But you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire in hell. Then what?
Commentary verse 15. And they filled up all of Isaac's wells with earth. These were the wells that were dug by the servants of Abraham, his father. King James Version, verse 16. And Abimelech sent unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.
Yeah, get out of our stadium. Get out of our lives. Get out of Nashville. Get out of L.A. You're too big. You're too powerful for us. I remember one time that there was a girl that was missing. And so the father of that girl came over to our place in at the Alamo restaurant in Alma, Arkansas, and wanted to talk to me. And I was up on the ridge, so I came down and talked to him. And he said, have you seen this girl? Is she in your church? And I said, I don't recognize her at all, no. She might be out in the church in Los Angeles or somewhere else, maybe Chicago. At that time, I think we had a church in Chicago, or one of the other churches, but I don't know. He said, well, I was at over at Billy Graham's place in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he said, I asked him about you, and he said, I will not tell you anything good or anything bad about Alamo. He's too powerful. Okay? So that gives you an indication of what people say. They're too big, he's too powerful. We won't mess with him. All right? So, I mean, that's what they're saying to this man here. Isaac, amen?
Yeah.
Says, you're too big, you're too powerful, you're too rich, get out of here. Leave our country. Okay, it's the same thing. Anybody that's big, that's been called by the Lord, and I consider myself big in the Lord because I've told you the different visions and signs and wonders that I've had, and I tell you the way that God showed me all these visions, and there's something big ahead even, amen?
Amen.
Even bigger. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 16. And Abimelech told Isaac to leave the country. Quote,
get out of here. Right?
Right.
Then what?
Quote, go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too rich and powerful for us.
Yeah. How many times have I heard that from people? Okay, over and over and over and over again all my life. All right, then what else? And especially lately. And all we are is just serving the Lord. But to me, God is powerful. I'm not. Amen?
Amen.
And Isaac never thought he was powerful. He thought God was powerful. He knew he was. Amen?
Amen.
So we don't give ourselves any glory, credit or anything for being big and powerful. But I know that my God is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Commentary, verse 17. So Isaac moved to the Gerar valley and lived there instead.
Guys, you have to put yourself in these people's places. So you have to have the experience to know that this is really the truth. I mean, this is exactly the truth, okay?
Yeah.
Anytime you get wealth and you become, or you get a lot of property, everybody in prison, the people that are there that were somebody, they were They said, any time the government sees you getting big or you've got like $100 million worth of property, they're going to come in and try to stop you, unless you're one of the Vaticanites. That's why they did it. And I said, well, no, there's more to it than that. Because you don't know the literature that I've put out on them, exposing them. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham.
They stopped them up too. Amen?
Amen.
They just don't want you to get ahead in this world. All right, what else? Well, this world isn't our final home anyway. I mean, we're just passing through. We're pilgrims, right?
Right.
Our home is the kingdom of heaven, so that's why it doesn't bother me that much, you know. Okay, then what?
And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them.
He called the names of the wells. They named the wells back then. Wells meant life. Water means life. If you don't have any water, you can't be rich. You can't have sheep and goats, great herds of them, and cattle. You've got to have water. And a well was is a big deal, even to this day. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 18. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac renamed them using the names Abraham had given them.
He didn't change the names that his father called those wells. He called them the same names that his father called them. His father, Abraham. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Commentary, verse 19. His shepherds also dug in the Gerar Valley and found a gushing spring. King James Version, verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. Commentary, verse 20. But then the local shepherds came and claimed the spring. Quote, this is our water, they said, and they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Argument, because they argued about it with him.
That's what that word means, okay, this argument. And what else?
King James Version, verse 21. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Commentary, verse 21. Isaac's men then dug another well, but again there was a fight over it. So Isaac named it, quote, opposition.
Which means Sitna. Sitna is opposition. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 22. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Commentary, verse 22. Abandoning that one, he dug another well, and the local people finally left him alone. So Isaac called it, quote, room enough, end quote. For he said, quote, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be able to live. King James Version, verse 23.
And that just really reminds me of how that the Lord caused a great storm out in this area. They took some of the brothers and sisters opened a grocery store, and they took the water meter away so that they couldn't have water, and so the health department closed the store down. But then the Lord caused a great storm, an ice storm out here, and everybody was without water. So they started reaping what they sowed with us. Amen?
Amen.
And so it just kept getting worse and worse. People didn't have any water in their houses to take baths or even to brush their teeth with. And so, but we had a generator. Amen?
Amen.
So we were able to have it. We couldn't have water to shower or something like that, so I called the mayor's office and asked them what's going on with the water, man? When are you going to have it on? They says, we can't. We need a generator. And the little town that we're living in doesn't have enough money to get a generator. And I said, that's all you need and all the water will be back on? He said, yeah. And so I called a company, Clear in Dallas. Nobody else had generators because everybody was ordering them in all areas and they were short. So this one guy had a great big generator that could handle the water supply company here in this town. Yeah, but it cost $5,000 a week. And the Lord told me, get it. Get it for him. I said, Lord, they took our water away. He says, overcome evil by doing good. So I got it and brought it out here. It took a whole flatbed trailer to bring it out. That's how big the generator was, and a big diesel truck. And the next morning, I called the mayor and says, I got it for you. He called the newspaper without me knowing it, and the newspaper ran a big story on it. And since then, everything has been roses out here in this area for us. I mean, they gave us water, and now we even have city water and sewer, which we didn't have before on that property over there, and which is the brother's sister's property. And I mean, we're just friends, it seems like, with everybody, with the exception of a very rebellious type, jealous church out in this area that don't believe in having black people in their church. They always give parables of blackbirds have blackbirds, and they go together, and canaries have canaries, and they all stay together, and so forth like that. But they're now thought of as being pretty wicked people. And just, everything comes out of the wash, and that did. Doing good, as the Lord told me to do, overcame all the evil out here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so now there's room for us out here. Amen?
Amen.
So there it goes again. I mean, this chapter here sure reminds me of a lot of the way things were in the past, you know. And I'm sure it's always going to be that way, though. But God is blessing us. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to just keep doing all of His commandments and, you know, worshiping Him in the Spirit. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Commentary, verse 23. From there Isaac moved to Beersheba. King James Version, verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Commentary, verse 24. Where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival, quote, I am the God of your father Abraham. He said, do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. King James Version, verse 25. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Commentary, verse 25. Then Isaac built an altar there, and worshipped the Lord. He set up his camp at that place, and his servants dug a well. King James Version, verse 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. Commentary, verse 26. A treaty with Abimelech. One day Isaac had visitors from Gerar. King Abimelech arrived with his advisor, Ahuzzath, and also Phicol, his army commander. King James Version, verse 27. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? Commentary, verse 27. Quote, why have you come? Isaac asked them. Quote, this is obviously no friendly visit, since you sent me from your land in a most unfriendly way. King James Version, verse 28. And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee." And we said, "Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord."
Right. And a lot of people feel it because after they've beaten us down so many times and we're back up again, they're figuring the same thing, that we're of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why a lot of politicians and everything are just like, you know, trying to be nice, okay, somewhat. Right?
Right.
Because they are not sure as to what, they read the Bible now, a lot of people are, and they're not sure what God will do to them if they continue on doing unto us the things that they've done in the past. Okay, so they say, too big, too powerful, you've got God on your side, and we want to make some peace here, so we want to make a treaty. Okay, the king himself came there with his army commander and his advisor. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 28 and 29. They replied, quote, "We can plainly see that the Lord is with you. So we decided we should have a treaty, a covenant between us. Swear that you will not harm us."
No, they're saying, swear that you will not harm us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Isaac wasn't that kind of a person, any more than we are. But it's the Lord that will harm them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
"Swear that you will not harm us, just as we did not harm you. We have always treated you well, and we sent you away from us in peace. And look now how the Lord has blessed you." King James Version, verse 30. "And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink." Commentary, verse 30. "So Isaac prepared a great feast for them, and they ate and drank in preparation for the treaty ceremony." King James Version, verse 31. "And they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace." Commentary, verse 31. "Early the next morning, they each took a solemn oath of non-aggression. Then Isaac sent them home again in peace." King James Version, verse 32. "And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water." Commentary, verse 32. "That very day Isaac's servants came and told them about a well they had dug. Quote, We found water," they said.
That was from the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
King James Version, verse 33. "And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day." Commentary, verse 33. "So Isaac named the well, quote, Oath, end quote, and from that time to this, the town that grew up there has been called Beersheba, quote, Well of the Oath, end quote."
That's what Beersheba means, town of the oath. Amen? King James doesn't tell that, right?
Right.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 34. "And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite."
Okay, so these are two black women. Hittites are like in Canaan. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 34. "At the age of 40, Esau married a young woman named Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. He also married Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite." King James Version, verse 35. "Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah." Commentary, verse 35. "But Esau's wives made life miserable for Isaac and Rebekah."
Okay, and so that's the last verse, and now we're going to go into a few commentaries here.
Commentary on 26, verse 1. Isaac had an experience in Gerar much like his father Abraham had earlier. Genesis 12:10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive.
Okay.
In Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 through 5, God repeated the Abrahamic covenant to Isaac. Genesis 26, 7 through 8. Isaac mixed fear and faith, an incompatible combination. The same weakness was in his father. A long time serves to show the error of his fear. Verse 12. Isaac sowed and reaped. This proves God's faithfulness. Verse 3. In response to Isaac's obedience not to go to Egypt. Verse 2. 26, verse 15 through 22. Isaac's riches were not a cushion from reality. Instead, his prosperity angered his enemies and brought rejection from his allies. Verse 16.
Jealousy. Then what?
Isaac responded, working diligently to preserve his inheritance. 26, 24 through 33. We see here Isaac's reward for his hard work and tenacity. The covenant is a revival of one Abraham made earlier. Chapter 21, 22 through 24. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. Abimelech was an official name for a number of rulers, even as, quote, Pharaoh, end quote, was in Egypt. 26:28. When a party to a covenant died, the covenant was automatically void and had to be renewed. 26:30. A feast was one way of ratifying a covenant. 26:34-35. Esau's marriages to foreign wives was another step away from the family's favor.
All right, now I think a lot of people in the church will be happy to know that I've just ordered 4 videos and 4 CDs that show Noah's Ark. It was the expedition, and it shows photographs and I guess a lot of footage, TV footage on how they got to the Ark and why and all kinds of things like this. And then we have another a video that shows the same archaeologist that went and got all the information for Life magazine on the Noah's Ark. And also, I had another one on the Ark of the Covenant. That's going to be quite interesting to see. Amen?
Amen.
And then there's another one that shows how they, the chemists that did the blood test on the blood that had trickled down from the Lord on the cross, through the crack when the earthquake caused it, and onto the Ark of the Covenant, onto the mercy seat. And then there's another video that takes about an hour or more, And then another video in CD that I just ordered that tells of the Red Sea, how they found, they went under the water there and found many of the chariots of the from the Egyptian army while they were chasing Moses and the children of Israel. So it substantiates all the, those different stories. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
So I can't, it's hard for me to wait to get that. We also ordered the Life magazine. And how much did that cost us?
The magazine was $20.
The magazine was $20 for a magazine. But that should be in soon. And what I'll do is I may do a whole tract on that with all the photographs. All right? So that's going to be, you know, all these different, and we'll do a tract on all these different things, which should really make a lot of people in the world that don't believe that the Bible is true, it should convince them, I believe. So we'll all pray that it will. Amen?
Amen.
And also there's another tape that I have on Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of people that don't believe that story, and they found it. And I don't know what's on the tape, but it should be really good. All the things that this man has found are just it's like as though the Lord supernaturally led him to find all these things. And can't wait to see him. Okay, this is Tony Alamo, and we just heard the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we'll be doing chapter 27 tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, keep looking up, and God bless you real good.